No, you're a mom, you're tired, you probably need to drink some water and everything is going to be okay. But that coaching, that mental coach that has come in the last few years has taken a lot of practice and a lot of time to be the voice of reason.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Thriving to Surviving with Sharon Saylor. And oh my goodness, I am thrilled to be here again on another Friday night for a brand new episode of the Autoimmune Hour. I've just had an awesome time last week. I went to the beach with the grandkids and had an amazing time. And you know, something about just sometimes getting away can be so profoundly helpful. And you know, another thing that is wonderful is when you meet new, exciting, wonderful people. And that's what tonight's guest is all about. I met her through a mutual friend. Nancy introduced me to Sharissa Bradley. She's a mother and teacher, and she originally went to school to be a psychologist. And after teaching for a few years, decided that wasn't her path. And oh, she and I connected over that, because I'll tell you, I have a few degrees by the wayside that have helped me in what I'm doing now. But I decided that really wasn't going to be my path, that specific degree, but all about continual learning for sure. And that's what I love about the Autoimmune Hour. We get to continually learn. And tonight we're going to hear all about Sharissa's company and herself, as well as the company is called Independence Through Nutrition. And she started it in 2016 to help people reverse autoimmune disease, just like she had done with herself. She has a strong belief as food as medicine. As you know, so do I. I contribute just diligence to my nutrition as being a huge factor in my autoimmune experience going as well as it is and being thriving for the majority of the time. And as I'm always candid and say, the doctors say I'm not cured, and I say, I don't care. I feel great. That's all that matters to me. And I attribute nutrition, sleep hygiene, and stress reduction. Those are probably my big things that I talk about. So tonight we're going to talk about her own journey with 4 autoimmune diseases. And after reversing her own decline, she started helping others do the same. And she's just absolutely passionate about changing lives. So welcome, Sharissa, to the show.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
You know, if you hear a little a little slurring or something tonight, I'm actually fine. About an hour ago, I ate something and I'm having just a slight reaction to it. I'm fine. It's not like an allergic reaction per se, but everybody, I'm fine. Just ignore it. I've got a glass of water here and my wonderful chai tea, and we'll just do it. So welcome. Thanks for being on the show there.
Thank you so much. I can't say that hasn't happened to me on several occasions. Anytime I eat at a restaurant, I get that little scratchy, like, oh, there's something maybe that wasn't quite right there.
Well, you know, what's fascinating to me is how delicate sometimes our nutrition can be, our food can be, because you're right. I can eat certain foods here at home that I meticulously prepare. I know exactly what's in it. I don't add anything that I might know causes this sort of slight little tickle reaction in your throat. And yet you're right. You can go out and have the same dish and maybe it's just one spice. Maybe, you know, you just never know. It's this one little thing that can cause a major tickle in your throat. So that's, I think, a frustrating part about understanding autoimmune. Let's talk a little bit first. 4 autoimmune diseases. Now, I know oftentimes I hear people go, it's not uncommon for people to get one, get over it, and then all of a sudden something happens and you get that, something else flares up. So was that what happened to you, or oh my goodness, you didn't have all four at once?
No, thank God I didn't get diagnosed with all four at once. I did get one diagnosis at a time. It started when I was 18. I started getting chronic bladder infections and they really didn't have any rhyme or reason. The doctors would tell me things like, don't eat sugar or don't take baths. But nothing really seemed to make it stop happening. And about 2 years into taking antibiotics almost every single month, I was diagnosed with interstitial cystitis, which is autoimmune in the bladder, which creates that feeling like you're getting like you're having a bladder infection when there really isn't any infection there at all. It's just kind of like muscle spasms, weakness in the wall lining, and it creates that urgency and that pain the same way that you would with a bladder infection. So it was very confusing as a young girl to understand what was happening. Right after that diagnosis, I was diagnosed with endometriosis. That was coming when I was right before I started having my children. When my doctor told me that having kids would be the best thing, that it would take all of these things away. And I was ready at that point in my life to start my family. So I did. And I had my first daughter when I was 24, and I nursed her for 2 years until the day my second daughter was born. And then I nursed my second daughter until she was 18 months old, and she weaned herself. And right after she weaned herself, my body started falling apart. And it just seemed like one thing at a time was just, I was exhausted all the time. I had no ability to remember anything, not even my husband's names, my children's names, my family. I just started calling everybody pet names, honey or babe. And I think everybody thought it was kind of like, oh, that's funny. Sharissa's starting to call us by nicknames. And it was really because I could look right in their face and have no idea what their names were. And it was terrifying to me. I was only 27 years old and I had nothing. I had no energy, no brain power, no ability to think. And I had just finished my master's degree. I was teaching at a university. This is not a brain that I was willing to lose. And I started fighting back to see what was going on with me. My mom at that point had told me that the women in my family had Hashimoto's thyroid autoimmunity. And I really had no idea what that meant. I just went into the doctor and said, I need you to check me for everything. My mom said that you should check me for Hashimoto's. Again, really not having any idea what it was or what autoimmunity was at all. So they did the Hashimoto's test. It did in fact come back positive. My thyroid was actually swollen to about double in size. And I had some nodules on the side. So I had some x-rays, an MRI, an ultrasound done, all of that to diagnose the Hashimoto's. And they were kind of getting it wrong in a sense that sometimes I would go in and they were saying it was low thyroid. Sometimes I would go in and they would say it was high thyroid. I went to the top specialists, the Harvard doctor, who 1 week told me that my thyroid was way too big and underactive, and the next week told me it was actually small and overactive. So I was obviously having a major autoimmune flare without anybody really noticing what was happening. So that was when I got my Hashimoto's diagnosis, and about a month later, I was diagnosed with celiac as well. It was just the timing on when the tests came back. And I was given no advice. I was given some thyroid medication, Synthroid probably was where I started, and I was told not to eat gluten, and I didn't even know what gluten was. I just was like bread, pasta, I don't know. So that's where I started. I was 27. I could not be upright for more than 2 hours at a time. I was so exhausted. Just walking downstairs would make it so that I needed to take a nap, and that's where I was at. 27 with these now four autoimmune diagnoses, no real guidance or support.
And two little kids.
And two little kids, a 1.5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. There's so much to unpack there. One of the questions that came to my mind that I've heard from other people when they've had what they thought were consistent bladder infections and or sinus infections, it turned out to be a food allergy was sort of, they described it as tickling the sinuses or tickling the bladder that made it feel like either they had to relieve themselves or had a sinus infection. And then they felt that since that was not diagnosed properly, they were given the antibiotics and that created all sorts of gut issues. And it seemed to be sort of a spiraling type of thing. Have you heard of this? I think they called it spastic bladder and spastic sinuses, which is an odd name, but they were saying it related to this idea that this allergic effect sort of gave this tickling feeling.
Oh, yes, I have heard of this spastic with the nasal and the bladder. I never had any upper respiratory anything. In fact, most of my life, I never got a cold. And it's very rare for me to get sick, the flu, a cold, any of those things. I always thought I was just like Superwoman and I have this ability to never get sick. And I never even had a sinus infection until I started recovering from the autoimmunity.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, tell us a little bit about your journey as you healed. You mentioned a couple of times, which is so common, absolutely so common, this idea of the advice you got really wasn't helpful. And even going to top doctors, I've been around the world going to top doctors and researchers, and have to say at this point, I probably know more, as much, if not more, about autoimmune than plenty of the people I have visited. I now have an awesome team. I don't want my team not to think I don't, but I now have an awesome team, and just this idea that it took a long time to find that awesome team.
I feel the same way. I have a beautiful team of people now, homeopaths, naturopaths, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, people like that, that really take the time to get to understand what's happening in the whole body. But before that, my experience with doctors was so traumatic. I felt like I was being bounced around from office to office as they didn't know what they were talking about. They would send me to the next person who wouldn't know what they were talking about. And I spent thousands of dollars being poked every single week to get new blood work taken. And every doctor wanted something different, but nobody was able to ever give me any encouragement or the next step. It was just, well, you have autoimmune disease. This is a diagnosis that stays with you for the rest of your life. And this is just how you're going to feel. And the only thing they could give me support wise was thyroid hormones or steroids. And that was really it. And I was raised very, more Eastern medicine, more herbal. So for me to take prescription medications, it just wasn't in my wheelhouse. It wasn't something I was willing to do. So I really leaned heavily on, well, if food and stress and my lifestyle and my emotions got me to this place, then I can reverse all of that and make some bigger changes for myself in the right direction. And I really think even more than diet, my mindset, my mentality, kind of the way I was living my life, all of that was leading me in a disease path.
Oh, that's a common story. I can raise my hand on that one as well. It's a common story that I hear of people in the community. You mentioned a couple of things, and I just want to touch on it briefly. When I had mentioned stress reduction, and I'm glad you mentioned this idea of past traumas and past experiences and emotions, how that definitely plays into the healing path for sure. What first got you into this idea that, well, maybe if I just switch up my diet, was that someone guided you there, or how did that happen?
I am a self-proclaimed nerd, like massive, massive nerd. And my master's degree is in experimental psychology research. And I actually had been researching for the last 10 years different nutrition protocols. So for my undergraduate thesis, I researched nutrition understanding in college-age students. And my master's thesis, I researched nutrition understanding in children. So this had already been my passion for a long time, understanding food and eating clean and what food can do for you. I thought that I was a pretty relatively healthy eater. When I found out that I had these autoimmune diagnoses, I started reading books and research in that area. So things like the GAPS diet and the autoimmune protocol and the Whole30 and things like this. And I just read everything I could about what other people had been doing for themselves in this area. And really the general consensus once you go down that path is the diet is the number one thing to fix. Later, I went down more of a spiritual path and looked at kind of more of that mindset and the past traumas holding on holding in those areas, especially with the bladder and being grounded and feeling safe and secure. I never really had security growing up. So it makes a lot of sense to me that that's where it would all have started. I did work on my diet for 2 years before I did really anything else. But I started actually with the autoimmune protocol. I had cut gluten out of my diet, but nothing really had changed. And the one thing that we haven't talked about yet is that detox is a heck of a lot worse than diagnosis. When I was diagnosed, I was barely able to get out of bed, but I was just exhausted and bloated and tired. I had never experienced the pain and the trauma of detox before. Once I started the autoimmune protocol, I actually felt so much worse for about 6 months before I even started seeing any kind of light at the end of the tunnel. And I was grateful during that time for reading other people's personal accounts of what detox looked like for them.
Yes, absolutely. Because a lot of times that people make it sound like it's a bit of a walk in the park. Oh, you'll feel like you have a cold or a flu or something. I'm like, not everyone. Mm-hmm. Detox can be a wide variety of symptoms too. So it's sometimes hard to nail down what is really happening. Oh, that's right. I'm probably detoxing because I'm eliminating things. Now, when you started the nutrition path and you said, did you go with a strict elimination diet or how did you begin the path?
Not at first.
How did you choose the protocol?
Well, at first I decided I would cut gluten out of my diet. So that was the very first thing I did. But I went right from gluten foods to gluten-free foods, which are often worse, in my opinion, than gluten foods for trying to heal. So things like gluten-free bread, gluten-free pizza, gluten-free crackers and cookies and things like that. Then I was doing more research about celiac disease specifically, and they also mentioned casein and dairy products. I had always had a problem with dairy, so I quit eating dairy as well to see if that would help. When I didn't notice very many changes and I was still feeling just awful, completely awful, I probably could have given it more time. I'm also very impatient when it comes to my body and healing, and I just wanted to feel better so badly. I started looking into all kinds of elimination diets. I actually started with the GAPS diet. Gut and Psychology Syndrome is the full name of that. It's an incredibly, incredibly strict elimination diet. And basically I was just drinking bone broth for about 6 weeks. It was just, I just needed to cut everything out, basically, is what this protocol was saying. After I did the GAPS diet, which was way too strict for me and it really didn't fit with me, and it kind of felt more like I was pushing myself into an eating disorder, because that can happen when you're getting so strict with your diet. It can become something that is very controlled. And I did find myself being very controlled. I found the autoimmune protocol next, and that's when I started the autoimmune protocol. And I actually did that for about 6 months, the strict autoimmune protocol, until I started seeing some big changes. So until I stopped having bladder flares, that was a big thing for me because I was still having these bladder pains every month. So when that stopped happening, I started reintroducing foods. I lost about 70 pounds. Wow. In the detox process. I was not ever overweight by any means. I'm 5'10". I was maybe 170, 175 pounds. And I just seriously overcorrected, became almost like gaunt. You could see all of my ribs in my chest and in my stomach. And I went so far the other way. And I think that had something to do with the Hashimoto's. Going hyper and losing all of that weight, just kind of overcorrecting. After I started looking into more of a spiritual path and kind of more healing on those areas, that's when I started bringing more foods back into my diet and realizing that I didn't need to be so strict with myself, and that was actually causing a lot more pain and problems because I was being so strict about what was going in my body that I became kind of obsessed with it.
You know, one of the things as I went through the process of figuring out what exactly is my triggers, my food triggers, I had done a lot of elimination when under instruction of uh, no no gluten, no dairy, no eggs, no sugar, no nightshades. And pretty soon I'm like, what is there left?
Mm-hmm.
And I could relate to that part where you said there's this desire to overcorrect. And then I slowly was able to add things back in and understanding, just taking the time to listen to my body and only adding one thing at a time, I thought was critically important for my path was, okay, you know, I've eliminated all these things, but this just isn't going to work. And only adding in one thing at a time and then just sitting with it. Okay, how am I feeling? Like a few minutes ago when we first started and it's cleared up already, I said there must have been something that I just ate that caused this little scratchiness in my throat. And I think it's critically important for what I did, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, is besides my own journal, I kept sort of a symptom / food journal. Like, okay, today I ate this and got this little scratchy throat. But what I found was interesting, as I was on the healing journey, whatever that was maybe back 6 months ago, I would try it again and now I could eat it.
I had very similar experience. I had an anaphylactic reaction to tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
It was terrifying. I'd never had a food allergy before in my life. And sensitivities, sure, dairy sensitivities, sure, but never anything that was an actual allergic response. And I had ordered a hamburger with no bun and said no tomatoes, was driving off, started eating it. There were tomatoes in it. I had only cut tomatoes out of my diet for about 2 weeks. So really not long enough to have such a major reaction. Within about 5 minutes, my throat was already closing up. My tongue was swelling. It took about 2 weeks for my whole throat to calm back down. It sounded like I had laryngitis. I was losing my voice for about 2 weeks. There was this just flare of reaction in there. I obviously cut the tomatoes out at that point. And that was about 3 years ago. And a couple of months ago, a friend invited us over for dinner. She's from Spain. She wanted to make us a traditional Spanish meal. And for the most part, it doesn't have any, those foods don't have gluten or dairy or soy or not really any corn. So I was very excited to go. And the very first thing she served was a cold tomato soup. And I didn't want to be rude. It had been a few years and I have done a lot of healing. So I wanted to test myself and just see what would happen. I ate the entire bowl of tomato soup without a single reaction, not even no joint pain, no swelling, no achiness, no autoimmune flares, no nothing came from it. So I was really impressed with my body's ability to heal itself. And I have done these little tests for myself along the way to just see, okay, can I handle a little bit of dairy? Can I handle a little tomatoes or a little bit of nightshades? And in small doses without regularly doing it, I seem to be not having a problem with it.
Wow. That, I have to admit to the audience here, that is incredibly brave. If you've had an anaphylaxis experience, I personally recommend that doing that under a doctor's care. Like, I'd like to try a little tomato. But the other thought that came to mind was, one was a commercial tomato, and was it truly all tomato? Because I've had an experience where I love apples. I eat a lot of apples. And yet one day I was somewhere else. They had apples on the menu. I ordered the apples and I had a terrible experience. I had sort of this burning sensation on my mouth and, you know, my lips swelled up. But I still can eat apples. And my question has always been, what was on that apple besides apple?
I totally agree with you. And I'm sure that it has something to do with the quality. When I ordered a hamburger, I'm sure it was a conventional, normal tomato grown with all of the pesticides, herbicides, all of these things without really any regulation. When I was at my neighbor's house having this beautiful tomato soup, this was all organic, very fresh, local. You know, it didn't have any kind of nasty poisons or toxins in it. And I really believe that it was made with love and my heart was filled with love. And I think that that was a safe place for me feeling okay. And I think when we go into eating new things or things that we've eaten before with that fear, that can definitely escalate our reactions too. And that may be what had what caused a lot of my sensitivity early on during my detox process was the fear that I had built up in my head over how much my food was hurting me. And now that I've changed that around to the food that I eat is medicine for me because I eat the foods that I know build me up and support me, I'm no longer afraid of what I'm putting in. And I think that fear being gone really plays a huge role in my ability to eat those things again. And don't get me wrong, I'm not eating tomatoes every day. I haven't incorporated tomatoes back into my diet. I very rarely eat nightshades. It was sort of a special circumstance. And I just felt really in awe of the situation.
There's so much that I'm in awe of as my body goes through the healing journey, for sure. I'm glad you brought up fear, though, because as you mentioned, that experience you had with that particular tomato, one of the things that I've noticed, because I've had similar experiences, not all the way to anaphylaxis. I do have two items I'm definitely allergic to that I carry an EpiPen for, but I've had other experiences. Like I mentioned, my mouth got really warm and my lips sort of started to feel twingy and things like that. And fear is critically important to understand. And I put it sort of fear/anxiety. Because when that starts to happen, I do feel other little twinges start to happen in my body. And I know that that is my normal experience to anxiety, my normal anxiety experience. And I have to stop and almost talk myself back. Like, okay, Sharon, yes, your lips are a little tingly from this. But that other reaction, is that just anxiety from, oh my gosh, what's happening? And I think that plays a lot into our healing process of being able to distinguish between what is the true physical response and what is the memories recreating for us.
I absolutely agree. And I have started recognizing that in myself as well, the anxiety and the fear response versus the actual food response. And lately, my anxiety has kind of moved into my joints. And this is a Hashimoto's thing as well, to have this kind of burning joint pain. When my anxiety gets higher, when I'm feeling fearful of things, I start to get this pain, this really horrible, horrible pain in the back of my neck. So bad, in fact, that last year I was going to go get tested for rheumatoid arthritis. My mom has 5 autoimmune diseases, and one of them is rheumatoid arthritis. And I got so fearful of having another diagnosis that the pain was getting worse and worse and worse as I became more fearful of it. Now I can recognize that and see, okay, this is where this is coming from, and I can start to kind of relax myself and instead of perpetuating it, making it worse, and then having this new, almost brand new autoimmune flare.
Oh my gosh. You know, this has been so fascinating that I completely blew through that commercial break. We need to take it really quick. And when we come back, I love the direction this is heading, because I want to talk to Sharissa about this idea of how people with conditions such as herself and myself have this interesting problem with perspective and when is an itch just an itch. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm here with Sharisha Bradley, and I don't know why I can't say her name. Apologizing again. I don't know. I'm sort of tongue-tied today, but that's okay. You know, if that's all there is, life goes on, right? Anyway, we've been having this amazing discussion here that's so powerful, and I think it's raw and real between two people who are thriving regardless of their diagnosis. And I wanted to continue down this track because I think a lot of people who don't have an autoimmune, even people close to us, don't understand this concept of fear. And it's real. It's absolutely real. And we are able to talk ourselves off the edge. We're able to go, okay, that's my fear response. That's not a flare, whatever. But did you find, as you're going through this learning process of your own body and distinguishing between the different responses that your body's giving you, it's sometimes, I best describe it to my caregiver providers, if I lose perspective on when an itch is just an itch.
You know, it was really hard for me when I was going through the detox process to understand this concept, because it was such a scary thing to have new symptoms come up or to have really intense variations of my autoimmune flaring. For instance, when I had a thyroid flare, my thyroid would actually swell and you'd be able to see the size of my thyroid underneath in my neck. Then I would be that fear of, this is part of the detox process. It's not a new flare or a new symptom. And I think that it took me years, 3 years. I'm still every day, if something comes up, like, is this a new thing or is this an old thing or is this just a human thing? And everything that comes up, a headache, every time I sneeze, anytime I have an ache or a pain from doing something I love, like going for a hike, if it's taking me too long to recover, all of that fear still comes up. And I think the challenge has become overcoming it and being able to recognize that. And I think that it's ongoing and it's always going to be a process. I mean, for me, I'm speaking for myself, I guess I should say, that even when it comes up now, even this last week, the last 2 days, I had a headache in the middle of my forehead and it was just the strangest, most horrifying headache. And then even still, I get in those cycles of, well, what is this? Is this another thing? Is this part of autoimmunity, or is this just a mom headache, you know, just regular headache from dealing with my regular life? I still think I have to battle myself. The nice thing is as time has gone on, that battle has gotten a lot shorter and almost has become laughable. Like, ha ha ha, no, it's fine. I haven't eaten or done anything badly and I'm going to be okay. But I do kind of go through this role in my head. Okay, what did I eat? How much did I sleep last night? Did I have a fever recently? Have I been too stressed? Am I overworking myself? Do I need to cut back? And all of those fears and all of those thoughts kind of cycle in, and I have to back it up and say, no, you're a mom, you're tired, you probably need to drink some water and everything is going to be okay. But that coaching, that mental coach that has come in the last few years has taken a lot of practice and a lot of time to be the voice of reason.
Oh, absolutely. Verbatim. That's kind of the game that the mind plays on me as well, is this idea of, okay, you know, I don't want to lose perspective. And then I also at the beginning of these things, I go, I also don't want to throw myself into a major flare. And as you said, go down through that mental checklist of all of the things that I know keep me in the thriving and the right direction towards optimal health. So anyway, I want to make sure that we have time to talk more about your independence through nutrition. So let's talk a little bit about how you help people understand nutrition. It's because what one thing I've noticed is that no two bodies are alike. I could be sharing, okay, this is what I can't have. And, you know, and the other thing that I find frustrating is I can eat certain things in Europe that I can't eat here in the States or vice versa. So let's talk about nutrition and just some of the learnings that you share with your clients.
Okay. As an educator, because that's where I've come from, that's my background. I learned how to teach. I've been teaching most of my life in some capacity or another. And I love education. And I think that it's an incredibly vital part of the nutrition understanding process is to really understand what food is and what it's doing for us. And I think traditionally we look at food and diet as a vanity thing. We look at it like, well, I don't weigh the amount that I want to weigh, or I don't look the way I want to look. And so we go to diet and food as a way to change the way our body looks without really thinking about the fact that every single thing that we're putting in is having a biological response in our body as well. It can be turning on genes that we don't want to turn on, or triggering responses that we don't want to trigger. For instance, gluten triggers a response, a chemical in the gut called zonulin. Zonulin opens up chambers in the digestive tract, which makes it much more permeable, which then triggers antibodies, which is the creation or the start of an autoimmune response. So when we understand that just eating gluten doesn't necessarily affect like bloating or the fatigue, but it's actually creating these chemical responses in the body that are increasing antibodies or increasing the autoimmune response, and that's the thing that we want to avoid. And I think by really getting to the nitty-gritty of what food is actually doing for us and what food can do for us if used appropriately, we really let go of a lot of those stigmas. And food becomes medicine, where right now, food in general, or what we're calling food, I always laugh when I see the signs on the side of the freeway that say like food and gas and things like this. And I think that's not food. And the reason that we're so confused is because we think that these, you know, chemically processed foods that are made in a factory and pressed and all these different things to make it look and taste like something else, that is food and that's nourishment. And our body, every single cell in our body, our brain, every single organ, all of our blood, our oxygen, everything depends on the types of things we're putting in or on our body. And so for my practice, I really work with people to educate them and give them that understanding. I think traditionally when I would go to a doctor or a nutritionist or somebody who was going to help me with my diet, they would tell me things like, you need to eat this, here's this list of foods that you can and can't have, here's these things that you're allergic to, or you have to avoid this, or you have to do this elimination diet. But nobody ever took the time to explain to me why gluten was causing me to have a reaction, why dairy or casein, which I'd never even heard of, was causing such a massive response, or why vegetables that are categorized as a nightshade, which still most people that I say nightshade to have never even heard the term before. They don't understand why those things should be eliminated from our diet or why those things aren't helping us right now. So I can help people by giving them a list of things to do and don't do, but I prefer to teach people to give the understanding of these are the way you should be putting your meals together. Your body needs protein. It needs fat. It needs the different colors of fruits and vegetables in order to thrive. And by giving that education, people are walking away with, empowerment and knowledge and confidence, rather than walking out of my office feeling like, well, now I was just told a million more things to do, but I still have no idea why I'm doing it. They're really leaving with an education in that sense of, I am in control of my own life and my own destiny, and I can control whether or not I feel a certain way. So that's really behind my practice is an education. I want people to learn. I would love to be able to take my brain, put it in everybody else's brain, and then just let them walk around and tell everybody else.
Absolutely. That's why we both have podcasts.
Yes.
But a couple of things I wanted to touch on is Perl Mutter one time, and I loved your explanation as well. He talked about it as just having this, our body is one chemical walking soup bowl, and whatever we put in changes the composition of the soup. So one day the soup can taste really good, and then we put something in that's not so good for us, and we change the composition of the chemicals in our body. And he was talking about how certain chemicals, when you mix them together, make not so good chemicals for us, that there are things that we shouldn't be putting in, or, you know, our body can't use in the appropriate ways. And once I had this metaphor, this visual of, okay, I'm just a soup bowl walking around and I'm changing the flavor of the soup on everything I eat. The metaphor, I love to think in metaphors and visuals, it really, in a way, spurred me into being a little more meticulous in what I was putting in my body, because I was walking around going, okay, do I really want to change the composition of the soup today?
So I love that. I've never heard that before. And I think that that's perfect. I also love metaphors because I think it gives us a clearer picture of what it is I'm trying to explain or what we're trying to explain. And I love that, the soup bowl. I'm going to use that because I think that that's so powerful. And I really do ask myself every time I put something in my body, is this going to make me feel better or is this going to make me feel worse? And, you know, the things that make me feel worse are just not worth it anymore. I get asked all the time at parties or events if I miss eating the cake or the pizza or things like that, are they tempting to me? And I look at them like, just because I can't eat it doesn't mean like my mouth isn't like also salivating, but the pain that those things caused for me is so much greater than the desire to eat them again. That by asking myself this, is it going to make me feel better or worse, has really given me the ability to say like, that's going to make me feel bad. I don't need to do that.
I think the critical point in my turning was, I mentioned the food journal / symptom journal. Mm. Were a few times that I would indulge in something like a birthday cake because it was a special event for everyone. And I would just have a bite or two. I wasn't eating the whole cake, guys. Just
sure.
A bite or two. And I'd wake up the next morning and I go, why? My hips, my knees, my, you know, I was just like every joint on fire. And I go, okay. And a couple of times of waking up on fire like that, metaphorically, I just now have no desire for birthday cake.
I feel the same way.
What is that? Negative reinforcement, I guess, is what they call that. But it was a positive event. And I just wanted to quickly tap into the idea of nightshades, just so people aren't aware. It's things like eggplants, white potato, tomato. There's a whole list of them. Just look up nightshades. And there are certain people that nightshade is actually a poison to them. So just look up nightshades and realize, and give yourself a test and see, like, okay, every time I eat eggplant, I wake up and something feels different. Well, avoid it for a while and see what happens. That's kind of the easy way to do it. Some other ideas about how we can go through, and I don't want to say diagnose ourselves, but I just don't want people to go through this idea of, okay, man, Sharon, I'm down to, you know, rice and a banana. Which I have seen some people get to that point where, well, Sharon, if I eat anything else, and I don't think that's healthy. I talked to one woman who swore that, good for her, but I just couldn't think it was healthy, swore that white bread is the main thing, her main staple of her diet. And I'm like, wow. Just having one food, whether it was white bread or something more healthy, like, say, kale, is not healthy if you're only eating one food.
I completely agree. I have patients who will tell me this when they come to my office, like, I eat McDonald's every single day and I never have a problem, but the minute I try to change my diet to something healthier, I feel awful and I feel sick. And the way I explain this to my patients is that when you're having those kinds of reactions where the only thing you can eat is white bread, what typically we see is that the gut has changed so dramatically that the bacteria in the gut that's being fed is not the kind of bacteria that we need in our gut. It's actually causing a lot of problems. And I like to tell people that it's like you've been flipped, like your bad bacteria has taken over the good bacteria, and the foods that would help that person are going to actually cause a lot of gas, a lot of bloating, and a lot of issues while those bacteria are dying or while that's changing off. So I recommend for people when they're getting down to that one or two things in their diet, and I was there. I was at that point where I was eliminating everything and nothing felt good to me. And I ended up doing bone broth for a couple of weeks just to give my body an opportunity to heal and repair and kind of take a break. And then I started incorporating foods really slowly, like warm vegetables in the broth and chicken in the broth and then avocado in the broth and having these soups until I was able to incorporate foods back into my diet. But when we have those gut dysbiosis or gut bacteria backwards, where we're seeing that you can eat the kind of not so healthy foods, but are not able to bring in the foods that are really good for you, it's often that we have a really serious issue with bacteria in the gut that needs to be adjusted and needs to be really looked at. And I think that we should be eating a very wide variety of food. I think that every single color of food is very important. It all has a different vitamin and mineral component that it's incredibly necessary for our body, and we should be working our way towards kind of getting that broader diet, even if it has to start out a little bit smaller, as long as the goal is to continue to increase, then we see progress being made. But it happens to a lot of people where we eliminate and eliminate and eliminate and get down to these one or two things that feel okay. The problem is that's just not ever going to be healing. You're never going to see any progress being made. Even taking 2, 3, 4 months to just eat the same basic bland foods, you're not going to get any better or have any recovery from that. And unfortunately, in my opinion and in my experience, the only way to get through that is to take some type of supplements, things like that are going to help work on the bacteria, things like garlic that would help kill bad bacteria, and then kind of forcing your way through that discomfort, which is, it will be uncomfortable. There will be gas, there will be bloating, there will be fatigue as those bacteria die off. And there's actually, you can Google die-off symptoms, like candida die-off or SIBO die-off symptoms. And those feel pretty awful. But that's one of the only ways to get past that so that we can bring all the good foods back into the diet.
Oh, absolutely. We need to take one more quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the optimum diet. And then we'll hear more about how we can learn more about Charissa Bradley. And so we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. We're just having an amazing conversation with Sarisha Bradley. She's a mother and teacher, and she originally went to school to be a psychologist. And that expertise, along with all the other expertise she's learned, as well as thriving, even with 4 autoimmune diagnoses. She has started a company called Independence Through Nutrition, and she's been sharing with us how food is medicine, as well as her own experience to becoming a thriver regardless of diagnosis. So welcome back. Sorry we had to take that quick commercial break when we were getting into some very interesting parts, but a couple of words that you brought out there, and we only have time to touch on them briefly. We're down to about 6 minutes, and I want to make sure we have time to share how to get a hold of you, but you mentioned SIBO and die-off, and some of these ideas of what we're basically talking about is bringing the microbiome back into balance. So what are some tips that you have if we're going, I wonder if that's it? And I have to say, usually, typically, if you have an autoimmune, your gut's out of balance, guys. So
that's pretty much guaranteed the starting place. All of the researchers now who are doing kind of the top research in autoimmunity are showing that if you have gotten an autoimmune diagnosis, that it is coming from some type of gut dysbiosis or leaky gut, things like that. So we're automatically seeing that that's what's happening right from the start. So we have to focus on the gut. We have to focus on getting that balance back. One of the things that I have to recommend right off the bat is sugar. Anything that turns quickly into the body into sugar, like simple sugars, simple carbohydrates, like white bread, pasta, cookies, those types of sugars, those immediately are feeding the wrong kind of bacteria in the gut. And the best place to start without even really doing any research or detoxing or adding in supplements or probiotics or things like that, the first thing we can do is cut out any of those foods that have those sugars in it. That's going to immediately create those dying bacteria and create a die-off type symptom. I always recommend that people eat garlic or take a garlic supplement if they're dealing with that. Also, oil of oregano would help. The first thing you want to do if you're dealing with gut dysbiosis is go through what's called a kill phase, which you want to kill off all of that bad bacteria so that you can make room for better things to come into the gut. And then I recommend people doing things like probiotics and prebiotics, like chicory root or acacia fiber, things that work to actually feed those good bacteria in the gut. And then you can do things like healing diet protocols, adding things in like the bone broth or the prebiotics, the probiotics, as well as foods like kombucha, kimchi, sauerkraut, all of those fermented foods that are going to increase the level of good bacteria in the gut and just introduce new bacteria to the gut. We get so narrowed in our eating, and every food that we eat has some type of bacteria compound on it. And when we're limited to things like sugar and bread and processed foods, we're not getting any of that natural bacteria. We need to eat things like the apples and the strawberries and the blueberries and things that have a natural bacteria to them, so that we're constantly increasing our levels and different types of bacteria in the gut. We should have something like 70 trillion different types of bacteria in the gut. And as we eliminate foods and kind of bring that cycle down, we eliminate the types of bacteria that are going to be in the gut, which is going to allow for things like dysbiosis and leaky gut and things like that when we eliminate the diversity of the microbiome.
Oh, absolutely. And we're probably starting even before we start eliminating foods. If you've been diagnosed with an autoimmune, your gut bacteria is probably already somewhat out of balance. So understanding that you're not starting at zero with an ideal microbiome if you start eliminating foods. And I also suggest checking in with either someone like Sarisha, she does coaching and counseling as well on nutrition and diet, or finding someone who's experienced in functional medicine or a naturopath or someone else with an expertise, a dietitian, nutritionist. Because some of the parts when you begin to change your diet, she mentioned die-off, you know, that can be kind of scary to go through by yourself. It really can. I've been through it a couple of times. And sometimes I'm going to say you have to redo it or start over. Occasionally, that's happened to me where I've slipped backwards. But what the fascinating thing to me was, as I was talking to my naturopath during one of those slips, was she shared with me, Sharon, imagine it a mountain. When you first came, we were down in this valley, really down in this valley. And now we're a long ways up the mountain, and you've only slipped a little bit backwards on the mountain, but you're still on the mountain. And that was another delightful metaphor for me to realize, yes, okay, I'm feeling this way again, but I'm not where I started. I'm not as far. So you can always continue to move forward. We're just down to the last couple of minutes here. Share with everyone how to work with you, where what your website is. And I know you have a fantastic gift for the audience.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. You can find me at sharissabradley.com or at sharissabradley on social media. I also have a podcast. It's called The Tea Time Podcast with Sharissa Bradley, where I enjoy a cup of tea and share a brief message about health and healing. And I also work one-on-one with clients, helping you reverse autoimmune diseases, as well as in general, helping people just get healthier and feel better for that goal of longevity. I offer a free phone call, so there's no commitment or obligation. That's right on my website, sharissabradley.com. You can click on a free 15-minute call with me. And that's a way that we can just get to know each other a little bit better without really either one of us making any commitment to each other. I did just recently write a book. It's called Journey Back to Health, and it's to help you get your confidence back and give you that feeling that you have hope again and you can do these things. For your audience, I'd love to offer a free inflammation ebook. It's 5 steps to help reducing inflammation. And with autoimmune disease or just any regular lifestyle, we have inflammation. That's like headaches, joint pain, achiness in the body. So these 5 steps will really help you to at least get a kind of kickstart on your journey to helping you fight some of that inflammation, fight some of that pain. And then when you're ready to work with me, you can give me a call and I'd be so excited.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. And we'll have the spelling of her website over at understandingautoimmune.com, as well as check out the transcript as well, points I want to continually remember. And have a great week, whatever your adventures. You know, there's more to life than just this autoimmune. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio.